It's a pleasure to introduce our next instructor based in Kolkata, India. Ankur Jain has been practicing value investing for about a decade and a half and currently manages money as an independent investment advisor. Ankur follows the principles of Buffett, Munger, and Fisher. He looks for businesses with strong competitive advantages, run by ethical managements and available at prudent valuations. Focus and depth are two of the main attributes Ankur strives to achieve in his work. He dives deep into understanding a business and, once convinced, makes a significant allocation to an idea. Ankur believes that value investing is like growing trees. One has to provide the right seed, the right amount of fertilizer, water, sunshine, and of course, time. On behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to you, Ankur. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, John. Good morning to all the participants. It's always a pleasure to speak at the Asian Investing Summit. I participated in the summit last year as well, and subsequent to that, got a good feedback and made good friends. So thank you, John and Shai, for giving me an opportunity to share my thoughts again. So today I'm going to talk about a company, and I'm going to come to the name in some time. So I'll just call it, you know, it's X Limited. So I would like to ask a question to all the participants. It's a simple question. Which brand of car do you drive? So it's a simple one. I'm sure almost everybody who owns or drives a car will know that question. But now let me ask you another question. It's a little difficult one. So which brand of tire does your car have? According to a survey, about 75% of the owners, or roughly two-thirds of the car owners globally, didn't know the answer to that question. I didn't notice my car tires till I started reading about this company. So let me just take you into what goes into making a tire. I mean, these are the some of the constituents which go into making a tire, which is, you know, we start with rubber, which is natural or synthetic. We have nylon cords, insoluble sulfur and carbon black. And there are other 25 plus chemicals which are known as, collectively they are known as rubber chemicals, which go into making a tire. A brief about the anatomy of a tire. So we have the treads, we have the side wall, and we have the carcass, which has the belt, bead, and the body ply. Now, what holds all these parts of a tire together? The answer is rubber chemicals. What do we look for in a tire? I mean, what are the goals of a tire? So of course, the first and the primary importance is safety. We look for comfort. We look for high performance. The tire should be environment friendly. It should have a tight grip on the road. And it should allow us a comfortable control and maneuvering of our vehicle. So these are the goals of a tire. I would like to talk about the case of Ascension Tires. Bridgestone, which is the world's largest tire manufacturing company, it went through a major crisis in the early 2000s. Now, what happened? The tires made by Bridgestone, they started to explode in the US and Venezuela, leading to hundreds of accidents and close to 500 deaths. The local media dubbed them as Ascension Tires. And what was the reason? The tread of those tires would unexpectedly come off at high speeds, leading to fatal crashes. So that tells us about the importance of rubber chemicals. They hold all the parts of the tire together. And although they form only 3 to 4% of the total cost of a tire, they are extremely critical. And rubber chemical brings us to Nosil Limited, which is the company which I would talk about. When we talk about chemicals, there is an often heard concern that chemical businesses are primarily commodity businesses and they are environmentally harmful. However, my view is that just like no two fingers in our hand are similar, no two chemical companies are alike. It depends on what they do and how they do it. So it may be incorrect to categorize all chemical companies as commodity businesses. Now, how does NoCell differentiate itself from other players? I would like to talk about the key differentiators of NoCell. And I'll spend some time on this slide. Some of the factors which are there on this slide may overlap with each other. But this is how I would say I visualize about this company, or this is the mind map which I have. And I am going to start from the top. I'm going to read them out because this is the crux. This is the most important part. Right from the top, if you see, the first thing is that this company is India's largest when it comes to rubber chemicals. It has 45% market share. And market share leads to economies of scale, lower operating costs. It's a crown jewel in the portfolio of companies which this group has. It makes world-class quality products. So if you just combine the first and the third competitive advantage, which is economies of scale, low-cost producer, along with world-class quality products, it becomes a very, very potent advantage that this company has. Then it has process patents, exceptionally good HSE practices, health, safety, and environment practices, which are followed by this group, are the best in the world, which also gave this company a certification of responsible care. And responsible care certification is a certification given to chemical companies which are very good in the practices which they follow when it comes to health, safety, and environment. And it's a very critical accreditation for companies. It's a supplier of choice. So the tire major companies, they choose NoCell as one of their most important suppliers. The company has strong brand reputation. Next thing is the long gestation for approvals. So what happens, it becomes very difficult for new players to enter this segment because the time required for approvals for the raw materials is very high. NoCell has marketing network across 50 countries. So that makes another advantage, that it is able to penetrate deep into different countries, and which makes it difficult for other players to come. It has relationships with customers which it has cemented over decades. It has a large product basket. So it's a one-stop shop. If a tire major wants to buy 22 to 23 different chemicals, they don't have to look for different vendors. They can come to NoCell, get all the chemicals which are high in quality and also at the most competitive cost. NoCell has a very strong R&D base. So they keep partnering with their customers and come out with the next generation products. NoCell has an in-house technology, which is cost competitive. So that leads us to a low cost producer, which has high yields, low usage of raw materials, low use of energy, and reduction in waste. So that all combines to make it one of the lowest cost producers. And as I said, it has very strong R&D base. So that puts this company ahead of the curve. So there are new and improved products, which usually take 2 to 3 years to, it usually takes 2 to 3 years to develop a product and another 2 to 3 years to push that product. So for the customers to accept it, it takes another 2 to 3 years. Strong technical support to customers. Premium products. So again, next generation products, premium products, which are value additive. The company set up a plant in Dahej, which was a game changer for it because it is a continuous process plant. There is zero wastage. Large capacities, which leads to operating leverage. longitudinal knowledge. So since the company has been in rubber chemicals since 1976, so almost 40 to 45 years of experience which the company has, it is very difficult to be matched by any new entrant. Their company is very efficient. They are always looking to cut down cost and looking for efficiencies. And it's a niche market. So since the market, global market itself is close to around $1.5 billion, it's a very niche market. So it is not lucrative for large companies to enter this market. And there is a strong pipeline of new generation rubber chemicals which this company has. So these are the key differentiators, I would say, the USPs and the entry barriers which NoCell has around its business. So the image in my mind is like several fibers, they weave together and result in a very strong rope. The several competitive advantages around NoCell mesh together and they have given rise to a very, very strong business. So that is the reason why I think that NoCell is an exceptional business. Now I'll reiterate some of the reasons why it is difficult for new players to enter. As I said, these specialized products, they have long gestation period. It takes 2 to 3 years to develop a product. It takes another 2 to 3 years for the products to gain acceptance by the customers. There are economies of scale, which is difficult for new players to match. And one of the most important thing is that DNA of this company is innovation, which is the next gen products. And as we experience that, regulators across the world are pushing for environmentally cleaner and safer products. So that also provides an edge to NoCell. Strong technical support to customers. So nowadays, what is happening? The vendors are transforming from mere vendors to partners. They are partnering with their customers to develop new products, to understand their requirements. And that also provides superior competitive advantage to NoCell. Now this is a point which I'll talk about where I said that it takes the gestation period is high and it takes 2 to 3 years to develop a product and also to get approval from the customer. So this snippet I have taken from the product brochure of Continental Tires. So if you read the third line, it says each one of our winter and summer tires are tested under different conditions of weather and road surface. So what it means that tires are tested for different combinations of weather and road conditions. So a same chemical which is made for in a particular season, that will be checked for the viability in the summer season. And the same chemical will be checked for its viability in the winter season. So that makes it difficult for approvals to get. It becomes time taking and time consuming for a producer to get approvals for its chemicals. So that is why the stringents of testing are tough and difficult for new players to match. This is what I spoke about, the Dahej plant, which is a game changer for this company. And as we will read some of the significant capabilities which have come from the Dahej plant is the process R&D. So the company has developed a new process to make rubber chemicals, which has led to significant reduction in the cost of production. The product R&D, there are new products which the company has made. Dahej is a zero wastage plant, which has resulted in significant cost reduction. It has a very strong position in high value added products where there is very little competition. Because of economies of scale, operating leverage is being played out. And we can see from the margin chart that the EBITDA of the Dahej plant has increased from 35% to almost 54%. This is the value addition of the plant has increased from 35% to 54% from FY13 to the current period. And the EBITDA has jumped from 4% to 26% in the same period. Now, having talked about the advantages and the entry barriers around NoSales business, now I'll talk about some of the risks which I perceive in this business and the mitigants around it. The first risk is that there is large-scale dumping of rubber chemicals from China and Korea, and that is a big risk around the business of NoSil. How I think about this risk is that there are a few mitigants available. Mitigant number one, which I see, is that there have been structural changes in China. There, the government has imposed stringent environment standards on these companies, which has led to closure of capacities. There has been rise in wages. And the Indian government had imposed anti-dumping duties on some Chinese and Korean products till July 2019. So all these have led to higher costs for Chinese and Korean players, which makes it China. So they are prone to some of the risks which come from over dependence, which is like some of like quality and quantity both are becoming somewhat unpredictable when it comes to supplies. And here I would like to give an example of the solar modules which are being supplied by Chinese companies. So in the recent past, even though the contracts were agreed for a certain price and certain quantity, the Chinese solar module firms, they reneged on the contracts. So that was a rude shock for some of the customers who were quite confident of getting these solar panels at the contracted prices. So this is one reason why companies don't want to depend now only on one country, and they want to diversify their vendor base. And that is where NoSil comes in the picture. The third mitigant for this risk I see is that the NoSil developed a very cost effective in-house technology at the Dahej plant, which I just talked about. So that is also giving NoSil an advantage to compete with the Chinese and Korean companies. And the last mitigant which I see is that NoSil has added value added chemicals in its basket. And roughly around 50% of the revenues now are coming from value-added chemicals, where competition from the Chinese and Korean players is low. The margins for NoSil are high. And in some of these products, competition is non-existent. So that also gives a good leeway for NoSil in its business. The second risk, the anti-dumping duties imposed by the government of India on some products till July 2019. So it's a risk. You know, what if these anti-dumping duties are removed, and will NoSil be able to continue to derive good sales and better margins as it is doing now? So some of the questions which we need to ask ourselves when we think about this risk is that what percentage of the current sales they enjoy anti-dumping duties? And the answer is 50%. But more importantly, what percentage of intrinsic value of the current business comes from such products? And in my view, that number is roughly around 30% of the intrinsic value comes from the current products which are enjoying anti-dumping duties. However, in a scenario where the anti-dumping duties were to be removed, I still feel that the business will continue to fare well, because As I mentioned, that NoSil has a differentiated technology that will continue to provide edge. And second, Chinese costs have structurally risen to a large extent. So now dumping is not such a large issue as it was earlier. So even if the anti-dumping duties were to be removed, the business would still continue to fare well. And NoSil has economies of scale, which are better, and therefore lower costs. Another risk around NoSil's business, which I think, is fluctuations in crude, because for rubber chemicals, the main raw material is crude oil derivatives. And second is currency, because a large part of these raw materials are imported, and at the same time, a large part of the sales are also exported. So the first mitigant is about these fluctuations is that the contracts which NOCEL has with the tire majors, which are the customers, are quarterly in nature. So any fluctuation in raw materials or currency is passed through with a lag of 1 quarter. And secondly, it provides the business also has a natural hedge because around 30 to 40% of its sales are in exports. So that also provides a natural hedge against currency fluctuations. Risk number four, which I view, is dependency on the automotive industry, because rubber chemicals, to a very large extent, around 85 to 90% of the rubber chemicals, they are used by tire companies. So NOCEL has a exceptionally high dependence on automotive industry. And what will happen if the automotive sales were to go down, or electric vehicles and autonomous driving? These are the major disruptions which are happening or are expected to happen in the automotive industry. So the mitigants which I view for this risk is that, one, there is increasing ownership of two-wheelers and four-wheelers, especially in emerging economies. So the penetration of two-wheelers and four-wheelers in the developing economies is still very, very low. So that will continue to aid the demand of two-wheelers and four-wheelers, and consequently the demand of tires, and consequently the demand of rubber chemicals. And when it comes to electric vehicles and autonomous driving, I would say no matter what fuel the cars use and how they are driven, cars will still continue to run on tires. So that also mitigates the risk to a large extent. Having talked about the business and the risk associated with it, now I'll speak for a few minutes about the quality of people behind this company. This company belongs to the Arvind Mafatlal Group, and as you can see, the logo of this company is the Ethics of Excellence. This is one of the most ethical groups in India. It is known for creating world-class companies like Gujarat Gas and Navin Fluorine. The companies in this group are known for their technical excellence. The promoters have a long track record of acting as trustees to the shareholders, and they act in absolute fiduciary capacity. And now I'll share two instances of how this group thinks. So this is what I'll say, the Sounds of Silence. This is a classic hit delivered by Simon and Garfunkel in 1964. I feel that maximum value is created by companies that create the atmosphere of least friction at all levels. And the silence generated by these smooth processes, they tend to drive companies towards excellence. And one of such processes is succession planning. Now, NOCEL displayed immaculate sense of succession planning, both at the level of promoter shareholder and at the level of senior management. The company had two families as promoter groups, and both groups reached an amicable settlement to distribute the family businesses between them. And the best part was that the businesses continued to operate the same way a day after the settlement as they operated a day before the settlement. So that was one level of succession planning which worked out very smoothly and with complete silence in the company. In the second transition, Mr. S.R. Dev, who is a veteran in the company with 37 years of service behind him, he was appointed as the managing director of the company. And Mr. Dev, he replaced Mr. C.R. Gupte, who retired after serving the company for 40 years. So NOCEL has been the first and the only job for both these gentlemen. So there is a strong bench of professionals in the company, and the promoters believe in delegation of authority. And once identified, a competent person is identified, he is given a free hand and a long runway to operate, which is demonstrated that Mr. Gupta had 40 years and Mr. Deo has been in this company for 37 years. So these are two instances of succession planning which I wanted to share about this company, which create excellence. Some of the tailwinds and opportunities for rubber chemicals, increase in demand of tires. As automobiles are going towards premium and more luxury, there is higher demand for premium tires, and those premium tires have higher chemical loadings. So I feel that there's a long runway ahead for rubber chemicals, and Nocell is in a sweet spot to capture that growth. And these are the valuations. The market cap of the company as of yesterday is roughly $500 million with $46 million of surplus cash and investments and zero borrowings in this company. So the enterprise value is roughly $450 million, and the enterprise value to the profits after tax is around 19.5 times. So this is in just about the company, the risks around it, the business, the management quality, and the valuations which I presented. Thank you for your attention, and I would now request John to share his thoughts and answer any questions that he may have.
Well, Ankur, thank you so much for the wonderful presentation. Maybe we'll start with the last slide you showed there, since you showed a valuation multiple there at the bottom. I'm just wondering, where do you have a sense for where we are in the cycle, as this does seem to be a cyclical business? It would be helpful to kind of judge the valuation if we could get a sense for where we are.
So I would see more, I would see the growth as more sustainable in nature. And even though tires seem to be cyclical in nature, but I would still say that given the penetration of the vehicles, the ownership of vehicles, the growth there for rubber chemicals is a long and a sustainable one. So I don't see it as a purely a cyclical industry as such.
Okay, that's helpful. In terms of the cost of the business, you alluded to crude oil prices. Could you give us a little bit more of a sense for fixed versus variable costs, and which costs are within the control of the company versus outside of their control?
Okay. See, the business of Nocell is basically conversion of taking the commodity raw materials such as crude and converting them to value-added chemicals. Part of their sales are value-added chemicals. So as I alluded in my presentation, almost the company does not take any risk on the prices of the crude oil. Everything is passed through with the contracts with the customers, and that is the contracts are quarterly in nature. So there is no risk when it comes to the volatility of crude oil or the volatility of currency, I would say. On the gross margins front, the gross margins that are enjoyed by the company are around 50 to 55%. So which means the raw materials, the core raw materials of crude and other chemicals, they contribute around 45% to the total cost of sales.
In terms of global comparables, what would be some companies that the listeners may have heard about or know about that are in a similar business, maybe not necessarily competitive with Nocell geographically, but just other companies one could look at to learn more about this industry?
Sure. So there is one company called Solutia, which is in the US. Lanxess is another company which has a rubber chemical business. But I would say that a lot of these companies, they are specialized in only a few chemicals. They do not have the product basket of, you know, as I mentioned, 24 to 25 chemicals, which are all required by the tire majors. So like Lanxess maybe having 4 to 5 chemicals. Then there is another company in Korea called KKPC. That is not present into value-added chemicals, that has only commodity chemicals in its basket. So these are some of the companies I would say which are present in rubber chemicals.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the capital allocation priorities of the management team and whether there's anything that you would like to see them do differently?
Well, I would say that capital allocation abilities and the track record of the management has been excellent. So first of all, whatever capex they do, what I really liked about the management was that whatever capex they do, that is very judiciously thought about. So they take into account all the scenarios before planning out a capacity. The second thing, they try to manage all the capex with the internal accruals. So as we will see that the company has zero debt. So most of their capex is funded by internal accruals. The third thing is very important for this management is that they realize their circle of competence and they stay very close within their circle of competence. So they do not have any plans to allocate capital to any other, I would say, any other part of starting any other business or diversifying into any other business. So these are some of the very important allocation capabilities which I see in the management.
Wonderful. And, well, thank you.
Sorry, and my suggestion would...
Yeah, please.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I would just like to see the management continue what they are doing. You know, I'm pretty pleased with them, so I don't want to do anything new.
Okay, thank you, Ankur, very much. I enjoyed the presentation. I would just like to encourage the participants to feel free to follow up either with Ankur directly or to contact us, and we'll be happy to facilitate an introduction. Also, Ankur, thank you for showing the URL of your website here on the screen, calculatedwagers.com, and I would encourage everyone to take a look at that as well. With that, Ankur, thank you so much for being with us once again. It was truly a pleasure.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure for me as well. Thanks a lot.
Goodbye for now.